ABBA! The Shabby Road Record Show is on the air, your hipster-free vinyl podcast. I am one of your hosts, Ryan McKay, and I'm coming to you live from my own house here, my own little studio here in Arizona. I'm all by myself because AD is hard at work at Shabby Road, and what he's doing there, I would say you won't believe it, but I think you actually will believe this. Shabby Road is being fumigated right now. Yes, that is right. AD and I were gone on the road quite a bit this summer, and we were out on the road for about 5 weeks with the Louis Prima Jr. band, and with about a week left to go, our friend Deuce called AD on the phone and said, "Dude, I found some bed bugs at Shabby Road." And when AD finally returned to the studio, there was a full-on outbreak. So right now, AD is pulling everything out of Shabby Road, fumigating the place, and I think he's probably in combat fatigues with his face painted, saying things like, "To destroy the bedbugs, you have to become a bedbug," or saying things like, "I don't have time to bleed," you know, those kind of things like that. But seriously, what you got to do to kill these things is heat it up to about 120 degrees, which isn't a big deal here in Arizona. It's actually 111 today. So a lot of the stuff is pulled out of the studio and currently sitting in various U-Haul vans across the area. And it's basically baking a lot of the stuff in the sun. So everything's been pulled out of there, and it's going to be a week or so before everything gets back running again. AD has adopted a scorched earth philosophy in killing these things. He does not like infestation, and quite frankly, who does? I am on lockdown here. I am not allowed to go into Shabby Road lest I bring them back to my wife and kids, and that would be no bueno. And I would like to give a big thanks to our buddy Deuce and his friends for helping AD out, pulling that gear out of the studio and all the carpet and everything. That's some sweaty work down there, and also running the risk of also being infected by bed bugs as well. If you've ever dropped by our website and bought a round of beers, this would be a great week to do so, because I know those guys are thirsty and could probably use one. It's only halfway done at this point. They still need to put everything back in there in 120 degree heat. So go by the old website, shabbyroadrecordshow.com. There is a big frosty mug of beer there and a PayPal link where you can select a couple different varieties. And all that money gets directed into the fridge and cooling those guys off. This week, we do have one of our loyal listeners who popped by, and that is Steven Angulo. I hope I'm pronouncing that right, Steven. He got us a six-pack of beer, so that'll get him started down there as they fumigate that entire establishment, Shabby Road. So today we have a very, very cool episode from the vaults from back in the Crash Street Kids days. Crash Street Kids was a band that AD and I and Ricky and Deuce formed in about 2004. And we're not really active these days, obviously with our schedule with Prima and all the things Ricky and Deuce both have going on. We don't do a whole heck of a lot. The last show we did was we backed up the legendary Dick Wagner, and that was the last Crash Street Kids thing. That was about 4 years ago. So good times. Before we get cracking on that, let me give a shout out to our friends over at nameonanything.com. That's right, nameonanything.com. Just talking to my buddy Greg Fox, who is a keyboard player for Louis Prima, but he also has his own project called the Renaissance Rock Orchestra with a ton of famous rock stars on it. George Lynch, Bumblefoot, Alan White from Yes. It's really cool. But he needed some band t-shirts printed up, and so I sent him over to our friends over there at nameonanything.com, and he is ecstatic. He loved their workmanship. So if you've got anything you want to do printing-wise, shirts, hats, buttons, or whatever crazy stuff that AD usually inserts into this live read, feel free to head on over there, and you'll save 10% if you use the promo code SHABBY. When you put your order together, basically you email them and tell them what you want and just say you heard it here from us over at the Shabby Road Record Show. All right. So this week's fumigation sensation episode is from the vaults, as I said, and it's all about Crash Street Kids. This is recorded on the radio, right off the radio. There's a local rock station called KUPD, one of the biggest and longest running radio stations in the valley here. And we did an interview with one of the DJs there named Jonathan L. We brought our acoustic guitars, Ricky and I, and we sang a few Crash Your Kids songs and talked about the history of the band. This originally aired, I don't have a date on this, but I can tell you that it's right when our third album came out, which is called Transatlantic Suicide, and it was 2008 when that happened, so must be right around that period, because we're talking about that as if it's the new album. It's a great interview, it's a ton of fun, and it's me and AD on the mic, so it's just like a regular Shabby Road record show in a way. You get to hear us carry on and talk about all the fun stuff that we got into and all of our favorite bands, too. There's a point in the show where we just start rattling off our favorite bands. And if you guys have been listening to the Shabby Road Record Show, you know what names are going to come up when we start dishing them back and forth. Silverhead, Sensational Alex Harvey Band, stuff like that. And to listen to us play and sing, it's all pretty fun, too. The guitars aren't mic'd up very well. It's a little ragged sounding, but a great deal of fun. And then be sure to stick around. The interview's like 20 minutes or so, I think, the total running time. So it's pretty short. And then on the other side of it, stick around. What I'm going to do, there's a song that we play called Mr. Starlight. And it's one of my favorite songs that we ever did. And I got my guitar right here. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to break down the writing behind it and what we were thinking when we put it together. And all the chords and all that sort of technical stuff. So if you're a musician who's at all interested in music theory and things like that, check out the interview, but then stick around for the end of it as I'm going to break it all down. And there's a lot of cool stuff in that song. There's a thematic thing happening that I want to discuss, and also quite a few interesting chords that happen in it. So you can crawl inside my musical brain if you stick around on the other side. So without any further ado, let's take you back in the time machine back to 2008. This is the Lopsided World of L is the name of the show. Jonathan L is the host, and he had Crash Street Kids, me, AD, Ricky, and Deuce all in the studio to talk about the band and perform on 98 KUPD. So here you go. Enjoy.
Take a break. On the other side, I'm going to play F5. I promise I would debut that, even though I did yesterday morning. I'm going to do it again tonight. And right after that, Crash Street Kids, all four members are in the band, are in the studio, and they're going to perform. I'm going to say two to three. I'm going to say three songs. They asked me how many. I said, two, three. I think we'll do three songs live because I really love the album, Transatlantic Suicide. More about Crash Street Kids in just a few moments. In the studio with me right now live, and I'm very excited to have them in. And the reason why is because, you know, it doesn't matter what city you're in, and I know a lot of you are listening all over the Phoenix area, and of course there are people listening on the internet all over the world. When I receive CDs, you know, a lot of them are good and some of them are not so good, and I try to be fair as I can with what I listen to and what I put on the radio. This CD I was excited about from the moment I got it, and I listened to it about two or three times. Then I said, okay, I think I'll pop the DVD in. And then I watched that, and I learned a lot more about the band and actually just the whole vibe of the thing. And I'm speaking of Crash Street Kids, and I want to welcome to the studio right now, live, Ryan, AD, Deuce, and Ricky. Hey, guys.
Hey, what's happening?
What's happening?
Okay. I know this is going to sound like, you know, I don't want you to blush or anything, but I really do. I mean, I've been saying it on the air right from day one that Transatlantic Suicide, unless you want to do the whole thing, Crash Street Kids present the Supersonic Star Show.
There you go.
Transatlantic Suicide.
Right.
Part three. Which is the full title.
Yeah, part three.
Well, that's interesting because, remember, I was living in Los Angeles when you put out your first CD. And then your second CD, I believe I did get, and I was playing songs off of it.
Yes.
And that's when I came back. So that goes back 2 years ago, correct?
Well, yeah, Chemical Dogs, the second record came out last year.
Oh, that was last year.
Yeah, and then the year prior was the first record.
Yeah, but see, I was here, but I never got it. That's the weird thing.
So we screwed up. Way to go.
Way to go, guys.
You know, you didn't screw
Way
up.
Way to go, Hot City Recording Company.
Yeah, no, thanks, fellas.
Don't rag on your label.
Dude, you have no idea. Guys.
No, but the thing is that, you know, not everybody knew that I was back, and as a matter of fact, a lot of new people live in this area. They don't know who the hell I am anyway.
So everybody knows
take
who
care
you
of that.
I know who you are.
Yeah, but
a lot of people know
you guys grew up listening to me. That's a different story. but the point is that there's a lot of people that are new to the city, so they didn't know who the hell I was. In any case, you guys, really, the concept, you know, the conceptual thing, all right?
Mm-hmm.
I know it's about a kid, a breakup, all the things about the emotions of a relationship, that kind of thing. But musically, along with the lyrics, you really harken back to, I don't want to say another era totally, because it still sounds extremely fresh today, but...
Oh, that's good.
I know your influences are very steep, and you can mention them now if you want. What are some of those influences?
Where do you start?
Oh, okay. Well,
you can do the cliche. Okay, the Dolls.
Dolls, Kiss.
Dolls, Kiss.
Alice Cooper.
T-Rex. Queen.
Let's go more obscure. Let's go to Bowie and Mott the Hoople.
Sensational Alex Harvey Band.
Silverhead.
You know what?
Slade.
I actually saw Sensational Alex Harvey Band.
Oh, you did not see
in
them
in the 70s.
Live.
I did. In the early 70s.
You know, I had a chance to go see them in Baltimore. My brother wouldn't take me. I couldn't drive yet.
Really?
Hey,
I'm the idiot that saw Savoy Brown like three times. With different members every time. In any case, we're going to chat some more, but they have some great music to play for you, and they're going to play a song called Cigarettes and Star Suckers. Okay, for you right now, I present to you, live and only on the lopsided world of L, Crash Street Kids. Well, this ain't a Disney show exactly, but you know what? They did change the title of the song for the show.
Yes.
It's Cigarettes and Star something else, but it's Star Suckers for this show. In any case, that was great, guys.
Thank you very much.
Very good.
That was fun.
This is the reason why I invite certain bands in, because I know that you're professional enough to pull this off live on the air. It's kind of exciting to do acoustic. It's kind of a different thing. But I have to ask you, because this is, after I watched the DVD, it seems to me like you can make a big production out of this, you know, performing live.
Yeah.
I mean, a big set design and, you know, characters and stuff like that.
Elevators and ramps, and we put pianos 30 feet in the air, and we explode pretty much everything we can get our hands on.
We've done some pretty wild shows, and we do have quite a bit of staging when we're playing. We bring all kinds of stuff, a giant truck. It takes us, we get there at noon. If we have to play at 10 at night, you know, we're there at noon setting up for this big production.
Well, it's interesting because, you know, this is not the kind of band that can just go out and just, I mean, you're not going to play live clubs locally, you know, just for the sake of doing it. I understand that.
No, we always, that was the concept from the beginning. Because we had these songs that were like about this big grandiose rock star and all this, and it just didn't seem right for us to go out and play these clubs with no production. So AD started drawing stages, just like I'm sure he did in junior high, you know.
Which didn't go so well.
And yeah, and so we got cheerleaders and ramps and risers and all kinds of crazy stuff because it fit with the whole program.
And also, you know, it likens itself to the old shows that we used to see, you know, when Kiss was touring when they were good.
Before they were a Kiss cover band.
Yeah, you know, and then, you know, Alice Cooper and the big production, the big lighting that Queen used to have and things like that. And you see those old videos, and that was a rock and roll show.
So we wanted a Crash Street Kids show to be something along those lines rather than just another band at a club.
Well, let me ask you this. I know you're on Hot City, which is, that's not a local label, right?
Yes.
It is.
Yeah.
Okay. And you have management and all that kind of stuff?
Yeah.
So is there something in the plans to do like a big staged performance somewhere?
Oh, man, that would be great at some point. Right now we're planning on putting some stuff together for Europe because the album is actually doing quite well over in the UK.
Really?
So we're working on doing a tour over there. And
you know,
to bring the whole show over there is going to be pretty expensive, so we may have to cut it back some. But
I got to tell you, you're probably more appreciated in Europe than you are over here.
No question about that.
Yeah, we get emails all the time, and we got a bunch of radio over there. And the last record was like there was a radio station in Bristol, England that gave that one the record of the year, 2007 record of the year over in Bristol, England, which came as a shock to us because we're like, where's Bristol? And that's just all. How'd you hear of us?
You know what? That's an interesting thing that you bring. That's a great point you bring up, and I'll tell you why. We get a lot of imported music over here. You know, albeit whether it's from the UK, whether it's from Germany, France, there's some really good stuff too.
Yeah. Mm.
So in America, we kind of tend to gravitate. I mean, like me personally, I gravitate towards the Rammstein and things like that, and of course the Cult, which. I guess realistically, they don't really live in England. Then.
Are the Cults from England? I thought they were an American band.
No,
really?
No, they're definitely
shows you what I know about.
They're definitely British. But the thing is,
read the paper.
Ask me something about Kiss.
But my point. Well, they actually probably reside in Los Angeles and go back. You know, to, anyway. To make a long story short, I can see the appeal that Europeans would have for this, and it's kind of sad in a way. But there's nothing we can do about it. It's sad that. The kind of rock and roll that you're putting out, which is it's on the glam tip, it's on the arena tip, like you said, you know, like Queen and all these things from the past. Too bad that it's not appreciated as much in America.
Well, I'll tell you this: it might come as a surprise, but the fan base for Crash Street Kids, at least here locally, is largely underage. So if you come to a Crash Street Kids show here locally, and places that we played elsewhere, it's under. It's 16, 15.
So it's $4 for a water and...
Right.
Yeah.
And $6 for a Coke.
So the clubs are losing money, hand over fist. And
that's why...
And that's why we don't play around.
And that's why we don't do a lot of shows.
All right, let's do another song. Actually, you know what? Because I'm going to have to take a 5-minute commercial break, and I'm trying to figure out when I'm going to do that. I think I'd rather have you just do two songs back to back. We'll chat a little bit more, say goodbye. How's that?
All right.
Absolutely.
All right? Sounds great.
So...
Great.
Take it away. Do two more songs, one in a row. Give me the titles of the songs you're going to play.
We're going to do something from our last record, Mr. Starlight. which we've never performed live anywhere. So we're pretty excited about doing that one.
Okay, and what's the last one you're going to do?
We're going to do the first single off the new record, Transatlantic Suicide, called Do You Still Believe in Rock and Roll?
Awesome. Live?
Live and in person.
On the lopsided world of L, nowhere else. For you, on the Big Red Radio, 98 KUPD with the Crash Street Kids. Lordy, Lordy, I believe, I believe.
Amen, brother.
Ah, amen. Do you believe in rock and roll is off the current CD that's out. It's called Crash Street Kids Present the Supersonic Star Show, Transatlantic Suicide. Transatlantic does actually link up to Europe.
Yes.
Yes. Which is actually a smart thing. In
that's
any case.
And they also, about that marketing.
And yeah, very good marketing. And I enjoyed Mr. Starlight, too, from an earlier
Thanks.
Album.
Yeah, from Chemical Dogs.
Yeah. So, guys, this took a lot of balls to do.
Thank you.
And believe me, your balls are proud. They're hanging up. They're hanging up high. They're hanging up high.
Thanks for
believe
having
me.
Us.
They're not hanging too low.
We're actually not wearing pants in the studio. That's how Jonathan knows that.
Nice of him not to mention that.
We never perform with pants.
Yeah, just be careful. Don't hit the edge. You'll hurt yourself.
I did on that last note there on Do You Still Believe.
By the way, you were listening to Ryan on vocals and guitar, AD on percussion, Deuce on bass, and Ricky on guitar, collectively known as Crash Street Kids. Look for them, hopefully, on a big stage someday. We can really enjoy the full throttle, okay?
Yeah.
Awesome.
Absolutely, man.
Thank you guys. Thank you so much for coming
Thanks
in.
Thanks so much
Dude,
for having
thank
us.
Thank you.
This is awesome. Perk me up for a Sunday evening.
Good. All right. That's good. That's what we do. That's what Crash Street Kids do, right?
Let's drink.
Now we're going to drink.
I don't drink.
Oh.
Sorry. I'm the guy who buys a 450 bottle of water.
I don't drink. You know what, Jonathan? I don't drink anymore.
Good
or any
you.
Less than I...
Oh, there you go. Guys, thank you so much once again. I'm going to take a quick break, and on the other side, I've got a band called Apollo Sunshine with some crazy stuff. Why? Because you're listening to the Lopsided World of Elle. Where?
All right, there it was. That was from the vaults of Shabby Road, our interview back on in 2008 on KUPD, Lopsided World of Elle. I got my guitar with me here, and I'm going to break down the song Mr. Starlight that you just heard, the sort of music theory stuff behind it, and all that good stuff. Before I do so, I want to say about Crash Street Kids, we did... all of the records we did, and we did a total of four plus a double live album. They're all concept albums. The first three form a trilogy of albums that centered around a fictitious rock star who we called the Kid. And on the first album, it's basically the concept would be it sounds like a rock show from 1975. It's done in the studio, but it's meant to kind of feel like that. And in the second album, Chemical Dogs, we obviously take things into a darker place. We find out that this rock star is having trouble dealing with fame, and so he turns to the drugs and the groupies and all of the trappings that, well, you know, the shows that you've heard the show, so we love those kind of stories. So Chemical Dogs is the darker of the three. And the third part of the trilogy is an album called Transatlantic Suicide, and then we find out that the Kid is actually a time traveler, an experimental time traveler, which government-led, and he was an orphan, and they found him to be expendable, so they are basically a guinea pig. So he got to choose where he wanted to go, and being a fan of 70s rock and roll, he decided to go back to 1975, and he became a rock star in that time. And a really fun concept to write about. So check out those records if you feel like you're into that kind of thing. In the song Mr. Starlight, which comes off the second album, Chemical Dogs, it's told from the perspective of a groupie who we call Marianne. Marianne has fallen head over heels in love with the Kid, and they formed a relationship. Well, as much as a relationship one could have as a groupie type. And what happens in this song is that she is called the Kid in his hotel room, and he's invited her up. But when she gets to the door, he doesn't answer the door. The reason why he doesn't answer the door is kind of ambiguous. Maybe he's passed out from the drugs. Maybe he's already got a few other groupies in the room. Regardless, Marianne, the groupie, is left knocking on the door with no reply. So obviously there's a lot of sadness and guilt maybe about what she's done, and at one point she almost gets pulled away by security, claiming that she's not a whore, she's not an overzealous fan, she's there because they've actually got a relationship that they've formed over the last few cities of the tour. So this has always been one of my favorite Crash Street Kids songs, because I think musically and lyrically everything kind of lined up pretty well in terms of capturing the emotion behind the event itself of being shut out of someone's life. So in order to create that, a couple chords I used One is a diminished chord. That's kind of very angsty, kind of emotional, tense chord. And also a minor ninth chord, which is a fairly sad chord. If I may quote Spinal Tap, the saddest of all keys, saddest of all chords, I guess. But because it's two people, one of the things that I did is that I figured I wanted to play the same theme, played with two chords, two separate chords, what the theme sounds like over one chord and then what the theme sounds like over a different chord. So then you get the two perspectives. And so the chord that we start the song with is a D major chord. And the second chord, the other one, is an E minor chord. So D major to E minor. Song is in the key of D. That is the one chord and the two chord of that key. The theme is very simple. It's two notes. It's an F sharp and an E. And then back to the F sharp. That's all it is. Very simple. But when we put those, that two-note theme under or over the two different chords, they feel very different. D chord. E minor chord. Obviously, one is happier, one is sadder. So that was the idea with that. So we have two people, basically. And then the first verse talks, it's basically a phone conversation. You only hear Marianne's side of it. Hello, it's me. Which, incidentally, I thought it was funny when Adele had a song called, and the first line was, hello, it's me. And I was like, hey, wait a minute. I guess we're both ripping off Todd Rundgren. But anyway, so you just hear her version of the phone call, and she's invited up. And then in the pre-chorus, the same thing, I do the same thing again, where the idea is that I've got a melody, and I got two different chords, and I'm playing a melody over the same melody over two different chords, creating a slightly different effect. This time, the melody is B to C sharp to a D and jumps up to an F sharp. B, C sharp, D, and F sharp. Like that. And the two chords that I'm going to use to be the underpinning of that melody, first off, is an A7 chord. It sounds like this altogether. And then I move to a G chord and I play the same melody. One of the things I love about the G chords take on that same melody is you get this weird chord in here where it's a G chord with a C sharp in it. Sharp four. For those keeping score at home, that's a sharp four. Or sharp 11, if you prefer. And then it winds up being a major seventh chord when I get to the F sharp in the melody. There's the F sharp, and here's the chord. Pretty nice little chord there. Lyrically, what's happening is he's not answering the door. So lyrically, he's banging on
your hotel door. Oh, why won't you
let me in? And then I mentioned earlier about diminished chords. A diminished chord is not necessarily at rest. It feels like it needs to go somewhere. It's a very tense chord. And what I do is I played a C sharp diminished chord to get us into the chorus. And a diminished chord sounds like this. And that's going to lead us to the D chord to start the chorus. Listen to the resolution between the diminished and the D. It feels like it goes home after you finally get that tense chord out of the way. So here's the pre-chorus going into the chorus. Chorus is pretty simple. It's just D chord, G chord, A chord. In the second bar of the A chord, I put a C sharp in the bass. Still an A chord. C sharp is still part of the A chord, so the chord structure is not changing, but putting the bass underneath it creates more movement. It sounds like this. That C sharp really wants to go to the D. Yeah, so that's the gist of it, Mr. Starlight, and one of my favorites. And what I'll do is I'll play the original track off the album. Chemical Dogs is the album. Just kind of a funny story about the song and the creation of the song. This is the guitar I'm playing is the same 12-string I used on the recording, and it's also the same 12-string I used on the radio show. I bought this guitar when I was teaching at Metro Music in Glendale, Arizona. They had guitars there, obviously, and so I found this, and it was reasonably priced, and I didn't own a 12-string at the time, so I picked it up, and I bought it, and I took it back to the little room where I was teaching and taught a few more lessons, and then I had an hour break, and so I was messing around with my new guitar, getting it tuned up and playing it, and I wrote this song, and within the first hour of me and this guitar meeting each other, and I always kind of find it interesting how quickly the song was put together. I wrote lyric and I wrote all those things that we just discussed in within the span of about 15 minutes. And I always think that maybe that the song itself lived inside of this guitar, and I was the one that had to free it from its jail. I don't know. So I got done teaching that very night, and when I walked through the door, my wife greeted me and hey, how's it going? And I said. I'm going to skip dinner. I'm just going to go right to the back recording studio because I was so excited about the song, and I recorded it as you're about to hear it that very night. So I bought a 12-string guitar. I wrote a song in 15 minutes. I drove home, and then I recorded the song as is. I think I did vocals and everything. And one of my favorite textures on this original recording is the use of a Mellotron. A Mellotron is a really cool keyboard that is... it used actual little tapes and stuff. So what they did is they would have an orchestra play, for example, an F sharp, and then it would be recorded on a tape, and these banks of tapes would be inside of this giant keyboard from the late 60s, early 70s, and you'd press an F sharp key on your keyboard, and the F sharp tape of an orchestra would play. So a really cool, unique sound. You'll recognize it from a ton of recordings, Moody Blues, David Bowie. It was a kind of a go-to stringy thing. So without any further ado, hope you enjoyed the interview. Hope you enjoyed the breakdown of the song. And we'll be back hopefully next week with a fresh studio. I'm excited to see Shabby Road back in business and clean for once, maybe. Who knows? But here it is, Crash Tree Kids, and it's Mr. Starlight from the Chemical Dogs album released in 2007. Enjoy. We'll see you guys back at Shabby next week. Bye-bye. Nobody loves you.
A portion of the Shabby Road Record Show is fearlessly brought to you by those crazy bastards at nameonanything.com. Use the promo code SHABBY at checkout and save 10% on your order. nameonanything.com.